Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
And I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, December 13th, 2013, and I hope everyone out there is having a lucky, lucky day on this Friday the 13th. A little bit of a lucky day today, moving up later in the aftermarket. And
okay, we have a problem with your dropping out right now, Melody. You want me to do the market report while what are we going to do here? One of us needs to connect directly to.
Why don't you do the market report until after the break, and then we'll reconnect at the break.
I'll tell you. Okay. We have a problem here, folks. Got a technical problem, and I think what probably needs to be done is first I need to hang up here and let Frank call me. All right, Frank, you've got the number, so you can call me, and then I can get on the line, and Melody, then you can try to get a better connection.
Is that Friday the 13th thing?
That's Friday the 13th. That's exactly what we're talking about. Okay, so I'm going to hang up, and Frank, you can call me if you're listening. Please call.
I'll do the market report here. Gold is up $1,280 today at $1,239. You have silver up 21 cents at $1,980. You know, platinum up $6 at $1,367. And palladium was up a dollar at $721. USDX today is trading a little bit higher, 0.04 at 80.22. Crude oil today was down a dollar at $96.50. And if we go to the paper markets today, the Dow ended about 16 points higher today. The stocks basically finished the week lower. Everyone is waiting for the big move or the big meeting next week with the Fed. And, you know, again, are we going to taper? Are we not going to taper? Taper on, taper off. I mean, my goodness, this has been going on for a year now almost, ever since they came out and hit gold in April. This is what all led up to it, was are we or aren't we? And it's like, well, you know, folks, they can't. They might pull back on some of that mortgage lending and so forth, but they're not going to cut back on buying the bonds. So the 10-year yield today was 2.87%. And the Dow was down. Dow was up 16 points at 15,755. The NASDAQ, well, it hit 4,000 again at up 2 points, and the S&P pretty much unchanged at 1775. And again, the 10-year yield is now 2.87, down just 0.01. So it was higher today at 2.88. And there were some reports out today, financial reports out today. Again, they're pretty much claiming that inflation is dead or very calm. And that was due to the lower gasoline prices. And I guess we're having a hard time still trying to connect Alfred. Boy, if he didn't want to do the show, this was a great way for him to do it. So we'll have to perhaps disconnect and try again. It's Friday. I guess everyone is out and about. It's interesting. There's a lot of conversations about Bitcoin. I was on a program last night, and there was a caller about Bitcoin, looking at how people are looking for an alternative currency around the world. And the question was, well, is Bitcoin the alternative currency that everyone is searching for? And I don't think Bitcoin is that alternative currency. I think it's it brings awareness to the point that there's certainly interest in other currencies other than just the U.S. dollar, that the U.S. dollar is not going to reign supreme anymore. But I don't believe it's going to be the Bitcoin. We talked about how there's a possible police chief that's getting paid in Bitcoins. My question is, who's going to pay for the conversion rates? I mean, you have to convert that. And what happens is, from the minute that he gets paid, let's say he gets $1,200 a month. I know he gets more than that, but we're just going to use $1,200 a month. And then the next thing you know, that Bitcoin drops significantly. And we've seen some massive moves very quickly in the Bitcoin. So I don't know how you can stabilize a wage. So there's a lot of things that's going to be very difficult to and again, people can say, well, you know, they can back it by gold and so forth. And I don't think they're going to be backing. But I did have someone send me something about Bitcoins. He says, Bitcoin seems like a silly thing, maybe some kind of a scheme or a fad, which is what I think. If we've seen a lot of criminal activity that has been attached itself to Bitcoin. And he says, until you start looking closer, he says, you can tend to get sucked in quickly, especially once you start identifying some of the things that it does for free that corporations charge huge amounts for, especially in the financial services sector. He says he's not trying to sell us on it. He's just trying to keep an eye on it and not to be too skeptical when you start seeing some of the things that it can do. I believe you have to really believe in computers if you think that Bitcoin or anything else is good for humanity. I don't think computers are great for humanity. I think it's part of the system. It's part of the beast system. Yes, it has brought some good, but that's how evil gets promoted. They present something that is good. People embrace it. They bring it into our lives. It absorbs us. We become familiar with it. We rely on it. It becomes our part of our everyday living. And the next thing you know, then you can dive in to see some of the negative things that computers do have.
Skype connections?
Like Skype connections.
No, I'm in favor of computers. I like computers and the rest of that sort of thing. But, I mean, there's limits to them. They are, you know, they're handy. They're like any other kind of tool. You know, a hammer is a good thing for driving nails. You just got to make sure you get your finger out of the way, or sometimes a hammer isn't that much fun.
I think the society that we live in, there's so much negative influence. I mean, from the itty-bitty children, that they lose sight of what's good, what's bad. I mean, we're old. So, I mean, let's face it, we already kind of know what's going on. But, you know, these children are so influenced. And, you know, that the pornography on, you know, things like pornography on the Internet, I mean, that's, you know, a very large part of the Internet. Now
I've heard some people say it's the biggest park. I don't know if that's true or false, but I've heard it said. I don't know. But it's a big chunk of the internet.
Going to bring gambling.
Brings gambling. Yeah.
You know, the impact of people's lives. It can be a little bit negative. But I put Bitcoin in that same area. I don't think it's as good as what people might claim it to be.
But, no, I think it's going to break down. They're going to find out there is a mania for it right now, and people are going to begin to realize. I saw something lately. I think it was $100 million was stolen off of one exchange just lately?
Yes,
I don't have the article in front of me, but we talked about it a little bit in the last day or two. I believe they said $100 million in bitcoins were stolen. The reality is this. There is no such thing as a secure computer that's hooked up to the internet. All right? I don't care what you think you've got. I don't care what your security systems are and all the rest of that sort of thing. You cannot suppose that anything you've got in your computer is immune from being hacked into and exposed, discovered, stolen, compromised. All of that is possible. Now, is it going to happen? Probably not to the vast majority of us, just because there's so many computers. Who has time to break into all of them? But the point I'm trying to make is you can't count on anything like computer security. If something is digital, it can move at the speed of light, and I guarantee there are people smart enough to defeat virtually any security system you install. If you're still connected to the internet and you have $100 million stored in your computer, guess what? It can disappear like that. All right? It's just gone. Poof. And it will take a very intelligent person to even figure out how it happened. You just go looking on your computer and say, gee, I had $100 million there. You know, I'm sure it was there. Where did I file that $100 million? So the point is, computers are a good tool, but they are not. You can't count on anonymity. You can't count on security. They are vulnerable to outside intrusion if you're keeping anything important there. Including bitcoins, you could have a problem. So,
before we get into the new news and
the new news.
Excuse me. The news,
as opposed to the new news, as opposed
the
to
news,
the no
to
news,
the old news.
Huh?
We got
sounds
a question.
A little bit like Robin Williams right now. We're going new. Any case, yes. Okay. Before we get into the new news, we have a question.
Yes, we came in, and it's a good question. I have my views. I think they'll be a little bit different than most. Assuming the NSA has the capability to pry into everyone's life, how do guys like Jim Willey, Greg Hunter, and others continue reporting without jeopardizing the health of their sources? Emails and phone calls can be traced back to their origin. Do they use carrier pigeons or special encrypted codes? Seems to me if the government really wanted to shut them down, they really could do it without raising a huge stake.
I think there would be a huge stink as the problem, or at least that's what they risk. And on top of which, I don't think the government is particularly worried about what some commentators say. People get up and we do radio programs, and we hopefully help people to understand things and see them in certain perspectives. And these perspectives are sometimes contrary to what the government might regard as its best interests. But on the other hand, people are going to listen to it. And one commentator now and another one an hour from now and another one 2 days from now. And the information flows so fast and from so many sources. I don't think it makes much difference if you tried to shut one source up. I think there are plenty of other sources to jump in and take their place. We make an impact, but on an individual basis, it's not as great as some of us would hope. And it's not great enough to really cause much alarm with the government. They don't like it. It aggravates them. It's like a fly buzzing around their head. But on the other hand, it's not as if someone is shooting at them.
I agree, and I think some of these guys, they do a great job, but you know, a lot of this information can be found on the internet.
Yes.
It takes time, it takes energy in order to find it. And then it's also a matter of being able to analyze the information. And, of course, there's different opinions. You can have the same, you know, information and can be analyzed in different ways. And I think people get a little confused and so forth.
Well, there's another side.
And you're right. And I think you're right, Al. If you look at the amount of people that own gold, who understand what's going on and really know and have a handle on the truth, it's less than 1% of the population here in this. So, you know, you're right. They don't care about 1% or 2% or even 3% of the population at this point in time. So,
you know, they've got bigger fish to fry, and they have more to concern themselves with. As much as we may hope to aggravate the government, in the end, all we're really doing is just expressing opinions about what may be going wrong up there. And the government may find that annoying, but they don't find us anywhere near as annoying, anywhere near as threatening, as the people who actually work for government. Those of you who are saying, oh my gosh, the NSA may be spying on me. Oh yeah, they're right. They might. They probably are, to some degree. And that's entirely possible. But I guarantee you who they're really focused on are people like Edward Snowden, all right, and Bradley Manning, and the people that are in the government and have access not to opinion but to real data that they can suddenly steal, download, and make available to the world. Those are the people government's watching. And although we sit here on the outside and we say, oh, the government is spying on me, I guarantee the government is spying on the government, number one, and the people, number two. They'll get to us later, but first thing they're watching for is another Edward Snowden. That's who they're looking for, and they don't care about these radio programs. One other point is the question that came through, they were talking about what happens to the sources for, you know, Jim Willie and Jim Sinclair and whoever, and why aren't those sources exposed? You know, there's more than a few people in the radio business and the television business who are claiming to have sources that are unnamed, and they can't name them, but they're high-ranking sources, tell us this, that, or the other. Sometimes those sources are nothing but a random email that comes in into their email account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They claim to have sources, and it's a certain amount of show business, and the rest, oh, I've got a secret source in Washington, D.C., or high up in the Pentagon or something. Bull, you know, they can absolutely identify those high-ranking sources. They can be found in no trouble at all if they really are sources. You know, sometimes just because somebody claims to have a high-ranking source doesn't mean they really do. Maybe they just have a new email that came in and hit the inbox in the last half hour. Maybe that's all it is. So, you know, there's a lot of mystery and questions and doubt and confusion. And the only way we find out the answers to these is probably have to call the NSA. And just say, could you identify the top secret source that so-and-so referred to on his radio program? Maybe they'd tell us.
That's what I meant by a lot of that information is found on the internet. And you're right, Al. Emails, I mean, a lot of my clients, I have big high-powered clients in the military, clients in banking, clients here that, you know, have given me very good information over the years, and sometimes they're still wrong. Even though it's coming right from the horse's mouth, they're still wrong. And so it's, I think the importance of the information that we receive and those that analyze it and give us a view so we can form our own opinions is so that we can protect ourselves, so we can make arrangements, so we need to do the things we need to do for our futures.
Well, I agree that we have to protect ourselves, and we can figure that out. One of the things you also have to establish is not just how to protect yourself, but what is a credible threat. In the same sense that we can be an annoyance to the NSA, the NSA is in some regards just an annoyance to us. I mean, what do I care if somebody's listening to this program from the NSA? I'm saying, hooray, hooray. I'm glad to have some. I'm glad to have. I hope they are listening. I hope they turn it on the loudspeaker and they make everybody at the NSA says, oh, listen to this program. That would suit me just fine. I'm not sure that the NSA is as big a problem as some people suppose. If they target you, their spying is dangerous. If they're just doing the random spying across the board, and I'm not in favor of it, but still, it's more information than they can handle, and therefore, how dangerous is it? I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Going to take a break for a couple minutes. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Melody is having the winter, got a winter cold running. Is that too much? Just a little coughing or what's the...
Yeah, I do. And it's actually getting better, but I will try to remember to hit the cough button. So when I mute my... and you don't hear me. Anyway...
Just remember to turn the mute button back off when you stop coughing.
We'll try to remember.
What you got for folks today?
Hey, well, like I said, we're going to continue the December special going on. Free Silver Eagle with a Mid-State 63 $20 gold piece. Same price. We dropped it yesterday with the drop in gold. Gold's up today, but we'll keep it at yesterday's price. $1,540. It includes a Free Silver Eagle plus... free shipping. And also for the smaller fractional piece of gold, a $5 Liberty gold piece, Silver Eagle, free shipping, $485. So they just need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. You can email us directly from the website. And if you have a question for the program and you would like us to answer it, send us an email, questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com.
Okay, what's next, Melody?
Saturday.
Saturday?
No, after Friday.
All right, I get that. It took me a moment, but I get it now.
I just saw this quick article. I just find it interesting, but they're going to California. They approved the first eminent domain move for a state high-speed rail project. They are going to seize its first piece of property through eminent domain for a $68 billion bullet train. And it's interesting because the property is valued at $2.4 million and includes a 20,000-square-foot commercial building that is leased to the State Department of Corrections. So isn't that funny how they get themselves out of their own little mess by buying their own little buildings?
Yeah, it is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
they might be able to set up a train that goes, it's got to travel a distance of 10 miles, but by the time they get done hopping back and forth across all the government facilities they want to get rid of, it may have to zigzag.
Yeah.
Instead of 10 miles, it might have to zigzag 50 or 60. Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, I found that interesting.
I've got one here from the U.S. Navy-China Showdown. This is from the Washington Times. Headline is U.S. Navy-China Showdown. Chinese try to halt U.S. cruiser in international waters. That's the headline. Now, that's interesting. I mean, that's interesting. That's more than interesting. That's disturbing. It's maybe a small thing, but this goes to the conflict that all of you have heard about between Japan and China in the South China Sea over a handful of little islands that are allegedly sitting on top of some substantial crude oil and or natural gas deposits. And so China and Japan are squabbling over who really is entitled to operate in that area. And China's trying to insist that it has the right to do so. Now, the reality, of course, is these islands were Chinese, under Chinese control perhaps for centuries, I'm not sure how long, but for a considerable period of time until World War II. And they were seized by Japan. And Japan has maintained control of these islands since World War II, and they insist they should still be allowed to maintain control of the islands. And China says, no, we want them back. So we'll see. China is threatening Japan. Japan has called Big Brother at the United States to defend them. Big Brother United States has intruded. We flew a couple of B-52s through the area associated with the islands last week. There have been diplomatic conflicts and pushing and shoving and I don't mean physical, but I mean intellectual pushing and shoving, where people are saying, well, we protest and you shouldn't have done this, and everybody's pointing fingers, but the truth is there's a bunch of oil in the ground. There's the truth of the situation, and a lot of people want it, and they are perhaps prepared to fight over it. But in any case, it's interesting and again unsettling to see the Washington Times article, which says in part, a Chinese naval vessel tried to force a U.S. guided missile warship to stop in international waters, causing a tense military standoff in the latest case of Chinese maritime harassment. And that's according to defense officials. You know, you read this, the government, our government is like, well, we were just cruising around. You know, we had every right to be there. Maybe they do, but we're going to blame the Chinese for maritime harassment. A guided missile cruiser, or the guided missile cruiser, USS Calpins, which recently took part in a disaster relief operation in the Philippines, was confronted by Chinese warships in the South China Sea near Beijing's new aircraft carrier Liang-Ning, according to officials familiar with the incidents. The Cowpens, USS Cowpens, and a People's Liberation Army naval vessel had an encounter that required maneuvering to avoid a collision. Ooh, Melody, it's getting serious now. We had to maneuver. But the State Department said the U.S. government issued protests. Cowpens was conducting surveillance of the Liang. This is their new aircraft carrier at the time. The carrier had recently sailed from the port of Kandago, yada, yada. According to officials, a Chinese naval vessel sent a hailing warning and ordered the Cowpens to stop. Now, this is really interesting. Somebody over there in China has enough guts to try to tell a U.S. warship to stop. All right? Now, this is strange stuff. This cannot be happening. I mean, if this has happened by accident or by some low-ranking officer who's overreacted, that guy's gone. All right? And I don't think that's what's happening. This has to be coming all the way from the top. Somebody ordered the Cowpens to stop, and the cruiser continued on its course and refused the order because it was operating in international waters. Well, they go through more of the conflict. General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, recently called China's new air defense zone destabilizing and said it increased the risk of a military miscalculation. What happened is a Chinese warship ordered the American warship to stop, and when it didn't, they placed a Chinese vessel directly in front of the American warship, and the American warship had to go left, right, or whatever to dodge around the vessel and avoid a collision. This is a dangerous game. This is a dangerous game for everyone involved. It's almost amazing that we're even involved in this game. Why are we playing this? I mean, this is strange stuff that's hard to say, and why are the Chinese playing it? They think they can get away with this. They think they may have the power to pull this off. They think we may be too weak to effectively respond. It's hard to say what's going on here, but this is what the general is talking, General Dempsey is talking about when he says the possibility of military miscalculation. That people running around who think they're tough, and we're going to find out before we're done. There have already been several diplomatic and military challenges between the U.S. and China and the South China Sea in the last month. One challenge might be dismissed as the result of a mistake or a misunderstanding. Two or more challenges are evidence of an intentional conflict. Neither side has so far been willing to back down. This is evidence of deteriorating relations between the United States and China. More, it's evidence that the conflict between the U.S. and China is likely to continue and perhaps increase. Now, and it, which reminds me, of course, I don't know that China wants a military confrontation, but China is upset about something. They're willing to bump heads with the United States. This is strange. Something's got to be, they've got to be aggravated about something. And what are they going to do? Will the military escalate? Will the military confrontations escalate? I don't know, but I doubt that's true, but God only knows. But in the meantime, China holds $2 trillion U.S. dollars as reserve currency. China's already announced that it does not plan to acquire any more U.S. dollars. All right? They're not taking them anymore for collection. If they get them, they're going to spend them just as fast as they come in the door. They're not piling them up on the Chinese mainland anymore. It's not inconceivable that China could begin to sell off its $2 trillion and cause the value of the dollar to decline. They may not get into a direct military confrontation out in the South China Sea, but they might, who knows? Maybe they sell off $200 billion U.S. dollars. It's not $2 trillion, it's 10% of what they've got. But what if they did? What if they just threatened to do so? I guarantee it'll get people's attention in Washington. And the point is, it's leverage the Chinese had, and it would be surprising if they're angry enough, upset about, annoyed enough, to confront the United States in this matter repeatedly out in the ocean. Not impossible that they might try to sell off some of that $2 trillion and again cause the value of the dollar to decline. Will China dare to sink a U.S. warship? I certainly doubt it. Will they dare to sink the U.S. dollar? I think it's unlikely, but they may threaten it. They may cause a little bit of a problem. Or will cooler heads prevail and make the conflict disappear? What do you think, Melody? Is this conflict going to grow, disappear?
Well, I think the conflict has been growing for a long time, and I think now I think all the conflicts were behind closed doors, and now we're beginning to see things that are certainly tightening up as we progress, and our dollar continues to lose value, and Washington is doing nothing in order to change anything to command respect and leadership. So, we do have problems, and so you're right. We don't know how it's going long term. We probably do know, but whether this instance is the one is the catalyst to be the all event, I don't think that's it. But certainly another sign of the eroding relationship.
It's also another sign, you mentioned you use the words respect and leadership when relationship to the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's also another sign of our declining influence, declining yes. respect, declining leadership. People are saying, look, you ain't that bad, Bubba. You know, I mean, there's a point in time, you might have been a tough guy back when you were in your 20s, but now that you're in your 50s and you're packing 40 pounds of fat, you're not the same tough guy you might have been 20, 30 years ago. And our government is impaired by the debt and its inability to borrow money now. Most of the money it's borrowing is just coming from the Federal Reserve. Our government is impaired. And what we see from China is at least evidence that they want to test to see if we still have a strong resolve. And there is some doubt on an international level as to our power, leadership, influence. And so we're going to see more of these little challenges, and sooner or later, we're almost certainly going to have to back off. We've already got enough trouble in the Middle East. Do we really need another confrontation over in the South China Sea?
You know what, Al? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere there's explosions. I mean, Ukraine is still having their problems, and Biden and McCain are buddy-and-buddy, and it's just bizarre what's going on. It's not even like watching a movie anymore. It's like watching the Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
There isn't anything that makes sense. You're having these little tiny eruptions. Well, they're not really tiny. They're huge eruptions, but they have been able to keep them, you know, restrained to some degree. And it's amazing that people...
What do you think the fundamental problem is? If we're looking at a global, if we see these problems happening at different places around the globe, is there a common denominator, or are they just coincidental? One thing happens in one place, different thing happens in another place, another thing happens. They're happening at the same time, but not for similar reasons.
I think in the beginning, I think now maybe they are chain reactions, you know, where you have one action, you have a reaction. I believe you're probably having both.
I think I'm going to come back, and you can almost guess what I'm going to say is the common denominator. You can, if people have been listening to the program, I'm going to speculate that the common denominator is a fiat monetary system that's in a lot of trouble.
It is.
Not just in this country, but around the world. And nations around the world are getting antsy about whether their dollars are going to be worth anything, or their euros are going to be worth anything, or whether they're going to be able to engage successfully in foreign trade and keep enough jobs to keep the people in their country calm enough where they don't riot and kill all the politicians. There is a great deal of stress and instability on a global basis. And what we see in the South China Sea is just another instance of how the whole thing can unravel at a moment's notice. Our government can probably keep a lid on whatever's going on in this country. They can probably hold this system together for who knows how many more years. I don't know. Nobody knows. Months for sure, years maybe. I don't know. But there are outside influences that our government is unable to control or even predict. And they can, as unstable as the situation is, these outside influences may be sufficient to cause a great deal of trouble before we're done. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Just keeps getting better. This news was released this morning, both by CNN and USA Today. The powerful uncle of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has been executed as a traitor. For all ages, and that was the official news agency. That's what they reported. And he was second in command, I believe, Al.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
So he was convicted of anti-party, counter-revolutionary, factional acts. And so, you know, people are looking at this young kid as a loose cannon. And it shows also that he doesn't trust anyone in his system. And so it's there was a general last year who disappeared from the scene last July, and he also executed his ex-girlfriend. And so it's Jang, his uncle, was known to advocate Chinese-style economic reforms. And so It's interesting.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You got this young kid has, he's apparently whacked a number of people, including his ex-girlfriend, a singer who was allegedly made a sex tape. She got killed. She was executed, all right? So he's solving his problems perhaps in the most economical manner up there in North Korea. And he has no compunction against committing murder. And in that regard, he's a little bit like Obama. Obama's allegedly said he's pretty good at killing people using drones. And Kim Il-jung, he's apparently pretty good at knocking them off himself. So at the next funeral for a major head of state, perhaps the premier of North Korea and the United States president will get together, shake hands, and maybe they've got a lot in common. Maybe there's a certain amount of pointers. How do you make those drones work? Obama could explain that to the Korean, and the Korean could explain to him how to whack your girlfriends. Speaking of which, all right, you've probably all seen those pictures of President Obama sitting with the premier of, what, Denmark? She's one of the...
One of those...
I might have been in Denmark. I think it was Denmark, but I'm not
European.
Sure.
Yeah, it was one of those European...
They're just having a gay old time.
With Tony Blair?
With Tony Blair.
I think. No, Dave Cameron. It was with Cameron.
All right, Cameron. And off on the side, there's Michelle Obama glowering. And Obama's taking pictures. He's taking selfies with his cell phone of him and Blair and the woman from, you know, from Denmark or wherever. And they're just having a great time at Nelson Mandela's funeral. Okay? Because a funeral is a terrible thing to waste. You got to get out there and party down. You know, capture, have a little fun whenever, wherever possible. But you know, I saw one of the captions on one of the photos of Blair and the woman from Denmark and Obama, and they're all essentially arm in arm and having a great time and partying. It looks like they're at a baseball game practically. They're having fun. And there's Michelle sitting on the side, and she is steaming. And under the picture it says, good thing that Obamacare is finally established, because it looks like Obama's going to need it.
For such a person who everyone, you know, I mean, at a funeral, it kind of reminds me of Bill Clinton.
Yep.
When I believe it was Ron Brown's funeral that he was at, and they were spanning, the cameras were spanning all the heads of states and so forth, and they get to Clinton and they show him just laughing, and he sees the camera on him, and all of a sudden tears were coming down his eyes. I mean, it was just instantaneous. He saw the camera and it was just like night and day. And
you know, I think that's one of the things that you have to be if you're going to be pretty. You've got to have a sixth sense about when the cameras are near. You got to be able to sense them like a deer, you know? They get the feeling there's wolves around here someplace. You got to do that, and then as soon as the camera shows up, you got to have a smile on your face, because nobody wants their picture taken unless they're smiling. Everything's always happy in Washington. All the politicians are smiling. The president is smiling. Everybody's smiling. What the heck are they smiling about? Don't they get it? And in the end, I guess they do. They understand that as long as they're smiling, people will vote for them. But the truth is, there are serious problems in this country and in this world. And if you're smiling about them, you don't really get what's going on here. So what else do we have besides Obama? We needled him for today. What's next, Melody? Melody, are you there?
Yeah, I had my cough mic on. You know what's interesting is the weather.
Stop talking. You got to turn that button back on.
We're kind of, you know, a little off topic today, but that's fine. It's Friday. It's Friday the 13th. But, you know, snow hits Cairo for the first time in 100 years. You had a historic Israeli snowstorm, power outages in Jerusalem. We're getting some major snow here. It's been going across. I mean, some of the states, I mean, they've just been blasted. with cold weather. We certainly had the first storm of the season where a lot of folks, a lot of cattlemen, ranchers, lost a lot of cattle back in, what, October, the first part of October, in some of the northwest states. So it's been a brutal. You've had ice down in Dallas, bad storms. Which I would think,
storm down here. Yeah, it's rare. Which,
For this time of year. And so, yeah, folks, you need to be also prepared for these bad storms, loss of power outage. So it's all about being prepared. So these storms can go through. And but it's interesting how you see all that major snow over in Cairo and also in Israel. So.
Interesting times.
Interesting times.
Yep, interesting times. For what it's worth, I'm inclined to believe we are in end times. No man knows the date, and I don't claim to. I don't know for sure what's going on the rest of that. But I believe we're in end times. I just can't get around that, and I don't come to that position merely as a holy roller. It's something I've understood from probably back when I was in eighth grade. And I understood the significance of Israel reappearing here. And I realized then, I said, uh-oh. And I wasn't a particularly spiritual person at that point, but that impressed me. It stuck in my mind, and it's been there ever since. And I can't tell you that it's God's truth that we're in end times. I don't know for an absolute fact. But these kinds of events, you know, they warn there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but don't get too excited about it just yet, because that's not the end. The end is later. When we see snowstorms in Cairo and Israel, I don't think they were foretold in the Bible, but just the same, it's consistent with an unstable time in advance of the end. The true end time. So some of you believe it, some of you dismiss it as nonsense. I'm not, you know, we'll watch and see how it works out, but it is strange.
You know, it's funny that you said that you knew something when you were in eighth grade or 8 years old.
No, about eighth grade. I remember it was seventh, eighth grade. I can remember when I realized what the significance of Israel's existence was.
Well, I didn't realize that, but at a very early age, you know, people think, oh, she's nuts, she's crazy, whatever. But I always knew there was something to a revolution. I didn't term it as a revolution very early on. I had to have been, I don't know, grade school? And I really probably didn't even realize the term or the outcomes or what, but I knew something like that. And and it's funny how you go through your life, you get to a point, and here you are dealing with
what we're dealing with. What you perhaps anticipated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, you know, everybody gets a sense of this. Everyone has a sense.
I would
not
be involved.
Doing anything about it, but everybody has a sense. You know, it's like a sixth sense. It's like the hair standing on the back of your neck. A little bit of chills going down your spine, something like that. There's something there that it is not comfortable at this point in time. Someone sent me an email just yesterday with photographs from back in the 40s and 50s, in the 60s.
I just want to say this real quick. We got a couple of questions coming in. So.
All right.
So go ahead.
All right. Well, in any case, they're just old photographs, and I recognized all those photographs. And there are things that you don't see anymore, like Tinker Toys and odds and ends like that. And I just wrote back, and I said, you know, I recognized all of those photographs, and it really was a different age. It was a lot different. I don't mean it was a little bit different. You wouldn't think that there could be as much difference in one man's life as we've seen. As we're seeing and will continue to see. I mean, as different as it is from today compared to when I was a kid, it's going to be even more different in the next several years. We live in interesting times. What are our questions, Melody?
As per the Associated Press, Hawaiian Health Director Loretta Fuddy was killed in a small plane crash off Hawaii. The Hawaiian health official who verified the authenticity of President Obama's birth certificate died in a small plane crash. The plane carrying a pilot and 8 passengers went down Wednesday in the water a half mile off the Hawaiian island of Molokai. The Maui Fire Department said the lone fatality was Loretta Fuddy. Is this government's way to eliminate people who could be compromised?
I can't say. We don't know for an absolute fact. We live in a world where conspiracy theories, you know, are always popular. Can't go wrong. If you eliminated pornography and conspiracy theories from the internet, I don't know what would be left. It's always big news. It's always a fascination. So was Lorraine Fuddy assassinated, or did she die essentially from, you know, a natural accident, for lack of a better term? I don't know. No one can say for sure. But I can remember Texas Senator John Tower back when he was in Washington. And this was 20 years ago anyway, maybe 30. I don't remember the time frame exactly. But he used to say he wouldn't fly on an airplane. He said, I've had too many friends who've died on airplanes. And it wasn't because... There's strange things. Airplanes can do strange things, and he eventually did die. In my understanding, if I recall correctly, he did die in an airplane accident. He failed to follow his own advice, got in an airplane, and he disappeared. Well, he didn't disappear, but he crashed and burned, if I recall correctly. Hard to say, but conspiracy theories are the sort that are implied by the question. They're not just entertained by people who listen to these programs. They're not just entertained by people like myself and perhaps Melody. They're entertained by people in government, too. They also worry about stepping on airplanes. Did we have another question, Melody, before we get on?
Yeah, it's in relationship to the North Korean official. The question is, he was set up by his own wife and, of course, has just been executed. Which we already talked about, but the question is, what do you think about his wife?
It sounds like the basis for the movie Divorce Italian Style. Some of you might remember that from back. That goes back probably to the 1960s, perhaps. It was considered a pretty risque at the time. Right now, it'd be pretty tame. We're now dealing with Divorce Korean Style. All right. Instead of settling for half of the spouse's property and income, it may well be that his wife now has acquired all of his property and income, and she might even have acquired much of his political influence. Hard to say. So
we'll have to see how that unfolds.
Yep. And, you know, the drama, I get to laughing about some of this stuff. I shouldn't. I probably shouldn't. But sometimes, again, you get a certain amount of Undertaker's humor going on. You watch enough insanity taking place in the world. You see how dangerous this place has become. You know, back in the 1950s and 60s, I don't know that the world was better in a lot of regards, but it was not as mean, and it was not as the potential for violence was nowhere near as great as it is today. That's partly because we have too many people crowded into the same place, and partly because of weapons and spies and NSA and a bunch of other things. But you can't live in this world right now without a certain amount of apprehension. I can't imagine. There may be people who are able to do it. I'm not one of them. We'll talk more about apprehension and confidence and whether the world is going to hold together, fall apart, but not until next Monday. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, meet Melody, Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.